We're so glad to see you this morning. It is the beginning of a new year. Of course, I think we all have gotten that indication, and we all know that from the different scenarios that went on last night. I tell you, I didn't make it to 12 o'clock. My wonderful, beautiful wife did. And then told me about it later. I couldn't get there, so I went to bed early for me anyway. I appreciate you allowing me to come before you again. I enjoy it so much in teaching God's Word. It is something that I think, well, I know I've done for over 45 years, and God has been good to me. I can see Him active in my life over the years. You know, you might not see it at the beginning, and especially the young, but as we grow older and look back, I can see God guiding my life and my wife's and my children. I can see points of where Satan was trying his hardest in order to entrap me, in order to get me to turn aside. There has been all kinds of problems, trouble, deaths, almost miracles in the hospital. Life, as Paul says, he mentioned that we have had experiences that were almost insurmountable. But Paul says, those things I count as rubbish, garbage. Put them in the garbage can for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ afresh, as it were, each day. And so we're starting a new day. And I enjoy each day. I look forward to it as we, Jenny and I, get up at 4 o'clock and we meet the buses and the young children and their smiles. Oh, it is so heartwarming. So I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus, about Christ, about His love for us, and in my own case, His great patience. His great patience with us. He doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to be saved. So we're going as Christians to look forward. I have to look to see if it's okay. We look forward to 2017. It's unbelievable. Now, as I go forward in the next few weeks, I'll put 2016 on everything that I write. So that's just one of those old things that I have to get through. But I will make it to 2017 eventually. And we're going to look at the thing that my mother would go around and she would gather up old things. And things that were lying around that we hadn't used. And she would throw them out. And on New Year's Day. Well, of course, we did eat turnip greens and black-eyed peas and that kind of thing as a tradition in the South anyway. So that was just a part of it. So in this kind of scenario, let's look at some of the things that we can throw out and get ready for the new. Over in the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter, we find God telling his people that if they will follow him, if they will walk in his ways, do his will, then you will still be eating stored produce from the previous year, and will have to clean out what is stored from the previous year to make room for the new. Isn't that wonderful? God says he's going to bless us in such a way that we can clean out the old, that which maybe had molded or mildewed, which we had a lot of problems with in the South. My mother, she ran a flour strainer for years and years and years. Of course, I guess I was 7 or 8 or 9 years old, and I finally asked her, what is that thing for? She says, to keep the weevils out of the flour. What? Strain it, mother, can I help you? You know, maybe that was protein, I don't know. But anyway, in the South, we did have problems. But God says, look, you put your faith, you put your trust, you put your love, put me first in your life, and you will have new. And that's what God is going to take care of us. We just have to have the faith and the trust that he cares for us, and he's going to see that we have what we need. That's what the writer Matthew put down of our Lord saying over in Matthew 6 and 32 and 33, that we don't need to worry about what we are going to eat, what we're going to wear. God is going to take care of that. Whether or not we have shelter over our head, God is going to take care of that. And so we need to be looking toward the new, that God is going to see that we are loved and that we have his care. Trust God. That's what it boils down to. Well, what are we to do? How are we to go about this in this new year? 1 Peter 2 and 2 says that one of the best things that we can do this year as a Christian, as a child of God, is to have a yearning, not for a new 90-inch television set, a new car. We're not to have a yearning for the things of this world, but our yearning, and the Greek and Hebrew there, it means a deep longing. We're to have this deep longing as newborn infants. Boy, if you've seen newborn, which Jenny and I have, of course, newborn infants feed. Ooh, they're greedy, aren't they? They're greedy. And they want that milk. So we are to long, yearn for pure spiritual milk so that we may grow up to salvation. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's for young Christians, but it's not. The word growing there implies that as Christians, it's a lifelong process. I'm working on 70 years. Joe's already reached that. But I am still growing. I'm still growing. In preparation for this lesson, I discovered new things. Oh, okay. I learned more. Every time I open the Word of God, this Christmas, Jenny got me a new Bible. Put my name on it. New American Standard. And in reading it, I am still growing. And my attitude should be, well, I'll just close it up. I know all I need to know. I know how I need to go. I don't. I still need your prayers. I still need to be corrected if I say something here. You need to watch me. I still need to read the Word of God and study it. I'm still growing. So when I die, as Jenny's father, the week before his death on Sunday, he made his last trip to church. Isn't that wonderful? The week before you die, where are you going? I'm going to hear the Word of God. I'm not staying at home. Oh yeah, he was weak. Jenny and I had to help him into the front door. Help him sit down and give him his Bible. He was 85 years old. What wonder. Grow up into salvation this new year and continue to grow. And we need to ask ourselves, how is our faith today? Our faith is challenged constantly. Peter tells us that Satan is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. It's a fight every day. I'm going to tell you, there's not a day that goes by that I don't have to struggle with Satan. That I don't have to struggle with sin. I'm afraid. I'll tell you, if I think, well, boy, this day was easy. No, Satan is not going to make it easy on me. He doesn't want me to go to heaven. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. Oh, what a prize it is if he can get a Christian to turn from the Word of God. And so, we've got to have our faith. When the woman saw that she could not escape notice, she had run up in the middle of the huge crowd and touched Jesus' hem. She came trembling and fell down before him in the presence of all the people. One translation says she fell on her knees. Fell on her knees. She explained why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. When we touch Jesus, we're healed. When we touch Jesus, we're healed. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is when we touch Jesus spiritually in our prayers, when we are on our bended knee, and he's the only one that we can reach out to. We can have the assurance. If we have the faith of this woman, look at her. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Her faith was the operative word. had made her well. And when we're well, when we're in the arms of Jesus, we have this great peace, Paul tells the Philippians in 4 and 13. The peace that passes all understanding. And that's what she had. How is our faith at the beginning of this new year? Do we have the faith that will let us go through the crowds of Satan? Go through the crowds that tend to hinder us? And touch the hem of Jesus. Oh, how wonderful. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Looking forward, we're going to look at this again. Too many people, as I said at the beginning of the lesson, they spend their time looking backwards. Oh, look at what I've lost. I've been there. Let me tell you, oh, look what I have lost this past year or past years. Look where I used to be. You know, I used to go to the post office from my office, walk down there and get the mail out in a big stack. And on the first of the month, I'd see these, oh, quotation mark, people. They'd be coming in there to get their Social Security checks. And I say, wow. It was nearly a stampede. You know what? I'm one of them now. I didn't understand that back then. And so we look. Unfortunately, we spend too much time looking backward and thinking about, oh, what I've lost. We need to look forward. Look at Zacchaeus. Boy, he was up the proverbial creek. He didn't have a ladder to get down on or a paddle to get up or down with. But he wanted to, as we sing the young people song, he wanted the Savior to see. And so Zacchaeus, he made himself probably a laughing joke among his fellow tax collectors. Look at him, he's climbing up a sycamore tree. My grandchildren would laugh themselves silly if they saw me trying to climb a tree today. Whew. I'd be thinking I was very silly. But he did. And Jesus told him to come down. He went to dinner with him amid all kinds of his fellow collectors, Pharisees. Talking about Jesus eating with sinners. And Zacchaeus, he was sitting there. And he had been listening to Jesus. And all at once, he stood and he came forward. That word, stood forward, means he moved forward. He just didn't stand up and sit at his seat. You know, when we offer the invitation, we stand. Are there people that should move forward? That need to come to Jesus and get rid of the old? He moved forward and he said, "Listen, Master, I will give half of my property to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone in anything, I will give him back four times as much. Jesus said, today, this moment, salvation has come to this house. Man, what a wonderful thing. Zacchaeus, he didn't look backwards at all of the money that he had, that he was giving, that he was losing. He wanted salvation. And this day, salvation has come to this house. He looked forward. He moved forward to a new beginning. Well, that comes down. What path are we following? Where are we this morning? You know, Paul told the Corinthians that they needed to examine themselves to see whether or not they are in the faith. Chapter 13, verse 5. And we need to have this self-examination, not just on New Year's Day, but it doesn't hurt to have this self-examination. And so we need to ask ourselves, what path are we following? Well, 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. The message of the cross is indeed mere folly to those who are in the path to ruin. But to those who are in the path of salvation, it is the very power of God. Isn't that wonderful? Those who are foolish, who engage in folly, you talk to them about their salvation, they're not going to listen to you. But to those of us who are in the path of salvation, what the Word of God says, it is the very power of God. It's the only way that we can be saved. This is the only path that we need to follow. Well, there are some that run off of the path. And Paul, he did from time to time. He said he had to beat and pound his body with his fist to bring it into subjection unto the will of God, to the path of God. You know, sometimes a lot of times I've just had to get up and leave wherever I was, whoever I was talking to, whatever group maybe it was in. I was pounding my body. Charles, you've got to leave. Satan is tempting you. Maybe it was a television program. You got to go to something else. So, we need to pound to bring our bodies into subjection. For I, brothers, do not regard myself as having yet laid hold. Here was the Apostle Paul. If anybody had laid hold of, you would think at this particular time, Paul would have, but he had not. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, or lies behind, and straining. Now listen, straining every nerve. One translation says, straining your very being or body. Every nerve for that which lies in front. We can't stop.
We have got to continue to strain to go forward. We can't run off of the path. Sometimes we do. Oh, when I was growing up, we'd go blackberry picking, and invariably, the biggest, juiciest blackberries was over in the middle of the patch. And guess who had to wire work their way over there? Mother would say, "Chalk, we need those blackberries." "Well, okay, Mother." And boy, I'd get down and try to make myself as small as possible. And of course, I'd come back scratched up from head to toe. But I had the juiciest, plumpest blackberries that later on Mother would make me a blackberry cobbler pie. Oh, that was so good. I can still taste it. But we have to strain to go forward and keep on the pathway. This is the question. The question for the ages. Over in Mark 10 and 17, as Jesus was resuming his journey, a man came running up to him, threw himself on his knees before him, and said, "Good teacher." What was his question? Well, you've seen it. "What must I do to gain eternal life?" That's the question we need to keep in mind. All the time, "Lord, what else must I do? What do I need to do? What must I do to gain eternal life?" In this new year, we may have hundreds and hundreds of questions. Why this? Why that? Why? The question that we need to have: what must I do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Well, over in Philippians 3 and 14, Paul said, "With this gold in mind." Paul, he had a goal, and he told the Philippians, he tells us, we need to have gold. "With this gold in mind, I strive." Strive, strife, fight. It's a fight against Satan. We strive with all of our might, with all of our heart. "With this goal in mind, I strive toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul says, "I'm not going to lose it without striving. I'm going to strain every nerve in my body to obtain that goal." Well, I've listed a few goals. You can go through the Word of God and list out others, many others. But these may direct our thoughts. In Romans 12 and 16, this year, we need to live in harmony with one another. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a harmonious world? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live in harmony with one another? This year or past year has seen so much strife. So much strife. I just hope and pray we don't continue to carry it into our new year. But as Christians, we can strive to live in harmony with each other. We've got some huge answers that we're seeking here. And I've observed the harmony that exists here, the love that exists here, the patience that exists here. And those who do not exhibit haughtiness above others, think they're better than others. I see people hug one another. I've been hugged. I've hugged other people. I love it. It's wonderful. So live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Now, that doesn't mean that person is very poor. It doesn't mean that that person doesn't think real well. Or that person may be slow. Lowly, it means that that person has all the ability, all the knowledge, but he's coming up. And we don't need to browbeat that person by our knowledge. I know more than you. I know more Bible. Why you? No, we don't need to have that kind of attitude. We don't need to be conceited. Don't you hate to be around a conceited person? Oh, boy, I do. I have to really work at it to talk to a conceited person looking down their nose at me. I have to really work at it. But that's one of the things that we can do this year, is try to be as harmonious as we can. Endurance. Paul told the Romans in 15 and 5, now may the God of endurance, God, oh yes, in order to run this race of eternal life, we have to have endurance. We can't falter. If we do, we may fall by the wayside. As Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower, God of endurance and comfort give you unity with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ. Unity, let me tell you, it just doesn't come about by itself. It just doesn't float around and then decide here. Unity has to be worked after. Unity is something that we have to desire, that we have to want. And through it, we can find comfort. That's not necessarily bodily comfort, but spiritual comfort. When we're working together in accordance, isn't that a wonderful feeling? Instead of going home and feeling, well, they just, I'm telling you, I don't know. No, it takes work, hard work. Well, be agreeable. Now, Paul says that there were some here that were in terrible disagreement with one another. Did he tell them, well, you need to leave and you need to go out and start another church, start another congregation? No. He told them, I urge you, brothers and sisters. He called them all Christians. Well, they had some more problems. What do you mean, Paul? These people can't all be Christians? I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree together, to end your divisions, and to be united, now here it comes, by the same mind and purpose. What is the same mind and purpose? What will get rid of divisions? What will help us to agree together? United in our love for Jesus Christ. United in our desire to do His will and His will only. As I can't remember who said Wednesday night in our lesson, that we are not trying to do anything else here but the will of God, His Word. That's the only thing that'll get us to heaven, folks. It's not going to be what I say. It's not going to be, boy, he sure looks good, I'm going to follow him. I'm being facetious. But, you know, some people do follow the preacher. I know of several congregations, unfortunately, that have done that. Well, be agreeable. Be in harmony. We've looked at harmonious, sympathetic, Peter says, 1 Peter 3 and 8, affectionate, compassionate. One of the things about harmony is we learn how to be compassionate. That means we put ourselves in the place of others. The person who is grieving. I've been there. I've done that. I've cried my eyes out. I've stood over just living bodies 1 minute and death the next second. The family, oh, how grievous it is. But we need to be compassionate and be happy. My father, many, 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 many years ago, told me, I had an uncle, he got a new car every year. Oh, I hated to see him coming January the 10th or 15th. My dad told me, though, as we went out, and oh, it was shiny. It had that new car smell. He'd want Dad to sit in it. And I'm thinking, Dad, how can you? After my uncle was gone with the car, Dad told me, Charles, come here. He says, we need to be happy for him. We need to show our happiness from our heart, not to envy one thing that he has or that he has got. It was a huge lesson that I could be happy for those who were sticking in my face, as it were. Here, let me show you this. Don't you like it? Well, yes, I do. I'm very happy for you. I don't have one bit of envy. I don't have one bit of desire for your things. And it worked out. My uncle died. All of his things had to be left behind. You can't carry them with you. Compassionate. Being humble. Recognizing that that person needs God in their lives. They may have all kinds of things, But if they don't have God, they have nothing. Paul says, I count all of this as rubbish, garbage, to be thrown onto the heap. That's the way that we need to look at it. This year, we need to endeavor that we're going to keep living. That we're going to keep living. Philippians 3 and 16, however, let us keep living. Does that mean we're going to live it up? No. It does mean that we're not going to give up, that we're not going to quit, that we're not going to sit down, that we're not going to say, oh, God has abandoned me. I heard one man say that. I tried to convince him that God had not. It took several years for him to acknowledge that God had not abandoned him. And I had the honor and the privilege to baptize him into the body of Christ. Oh, he was now living. How are we to live? By the same standard to which we have obtained. The same standard. What standard is this? It's the life that we have in Jesus Christ. No more and no less. We're to live as Christians this coming year. That enabled the first century Christians to stand up before lions, to give their lives, to not say, I renounce Jesus and I bow down to the idols of Caesar. They stood there as the lions came across the arena and they tore them apart. Can you imagine? We haven't had to suffer anything remotely like that here in this country, and I pray we never do. Romans 12 says we're to pray for our leaders. But if it comes down to having to stand for Jesus or the things of this world, we need to keep the same standard of living. It'll see us through to heaven in life or death. Life or death. We will have the same standard of living. Well, that's it, folks. 2017. It is going to be a marvelous year if we will put these things into practice in our lives. And if we determine that we're going to live for Jesus. I don't care what the world thinks about me. As long as Jesus thinks good of me, I don't care if they make fun of me. If they say, well, he's old-fashioned. As long as Jesus loves me, this I know. The Bible tells me so. Isn't that a wonderful song we teach our children? We need to sing it in our minds more often. Andrew picked some wonderful songs this morning to go with this lesson. Zach, our other young people do the same. We need to acknowledge Jesus this morning, if you have not, to become your Lord and Savior. What a way to begin the new year. Becoming a Christian. To say, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. To repent of your sins. and confess him and be baptized for the remission of those sins in the name of Jesus, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I'm striving to go to heaven. Are you? I want to go to heaven with all my might. I don't want to miss heaven. If you miss heaven, let me tell you something, people. You have missed it all. There's nothing else that compares with heaven. If you're here in subject, would you come while we stand and sing?